is Joy's Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
There are, as you are aware, many discouraging moments in life that drain courage out of us. We're overworked and overwhelmed. To be alive is to experience discouragement. And the world in which we live in seems to constantly wring it from us like water from a sponge. All of us, at some point, need to be encouraged. Go to any or watch any sporting event on television, and at some point, you'll see one of the athletes do this kind of thing, trying to get the crowd worked up because they know that that energy pushes them on. It inspires them, and they feed off of it. A man named Joseph in the early church, we know him as Barnabas, played a prominent role in the church. He's the first identified financial supporter of the ministry. He was an effective teacher and a miracle worker who had an impact on thousands. When persecution broke out and many fled Jerusalem, Barnabas remained behind to care for the church there. He was a prophet. Luke tells us, full of the Holy Spirit and faithful. Barnabas was a dynamic and gifted individual. But when others in the church, the apostles, would see him coming down the street, they would see Joseph coming towards them, and they would say, look, here comes that son of encouragement. When we encourage, what we're doing is inspiring courage in others. Encouragement is listed by Paul in Romans 12 as a spiritual gift. The idea that it's on that list tells us two things. One is that there are some among God's people, and Barnabas was probably one of them, that God gives a special endowment of encouragement as a gift to share with his people. But all of us are called to be encouraging. The other thing it says is that God gives to his church those things which are essential. And if encouragement is a gift of the Spirit, encouragement is essential for our life as a community. To encourage means to call, to call out of someone, to urge them to go forward, to come alongside of them, to exhort. You up for a challenge? I think, sure you are. I can see it in your eyes. Let me encourage you to take on this new challenge I have before you this morning. But before we get there, I want to highlight a few things that the Holy Spirit is trying to work out in each and every one of us as followers of Christ. He wants to transform our identity so that we understand that we are God's children, that you are a son or a daughter of God, and with you, he is well pleased. That you are complete in Christ. You have all that you need to live the life that he's called you to. You are free from condemnation. You have been a chosen and appointed to bear fruit, good fruit that will last. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. Here's the challenging part I have for you. It's a little exercise, and I promise you that it'll take less time than waiting for a slice of bread to pop up out of your toaster. Okay, 2 minutes or less. Anybody can do anything for 2 minutes, right? So, okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pair up, sit next to somebody, and I want you to speak these blessings to them. I want you to say, you are God's daughter in whom he delights. You up for it? As always, at Storrs Community Church, you always have the option to pass. But if all of you pass, I'm going to be very discouraged. So I'm going to time you. I'm going to give you a minute, and then I'm going to say switch, and then you'll switch, okay? So let me. All right. Yep, one person speaks first. Am I there? Yep. Okay, I guess I can't time you, so I'm going to have to count. One. All right, so pair up. One of you speaks first. Okay, you ready? Set, go. Katie, jump back to the air. They switch. Okay. The Greek word translated encouragement is the word paraklesis. It's closely related to the word paraclete. And Jesus said to his disciples, I promise that I will send to you a paraclete, another one who will be your helper and your comforter. Encouragement, I think, is the most underplayed, least valued gift of the Holy Spirit. That encouragement is the ministry of the Holy Spirit par excellence. A spiritual person, according to the New Testament, is someone who manifests the Holy Spirit as the vital determining principle of his or her life. And when we encourage one another, we do just that. I want to take a minute to run through the life of Barnabas as it's played out in the book of Acts. And we learn from Barnabas that encouragers help you be who you are in Christ. In the passage that Robin read for us just a little while ago, is this description. It's a summary description of the church in the context of persecution, that is, and it's a summary of the church's flourishing. By including Barnabas in this description of the flourishing church, Luke establishes Barnabas as an example of what that early church valued. And I think that it was because of Barnabas and others like him within the community that the church flourished. In chapter 8, we bump up against a man named Saul. We know him as Paul. But we find him in chapter 8, he stands by while others whom he has incited throw rocks at Stephen until he's bludgeoned to death. Sometime after that, this man who ravaged the church, Saul, has an encounter with the glorified Christ on the road to Damascus. He becomes a follower of Jesus, and rather than persecuting, he now shows up in synagogues preaching Christ and his gospel. As you can imagine, the local rabbis weren't too excited about this turn of events. So they hatch a plot to have Paul killed. But Paul hears, learns of this, and he escapes in the middle of the night and runs to hide out in Jerusalem. So where is Paul going to go to hide from the Jewish authorities? Because now he's preaching Christ. He seeks to go to the church. But when he shows up on the doorstep of the church, the others are like, "You're not coming in here." Where does a persecutor of the church hide? So Paul was clear, a man without a home, a man without a place to go. Barnabas comes along and he risks his good reputation and standing in the church by advocating for Paul or Saul among the other disciples. And this Saul becomes Paul, who is a key figure in the expansion of the church. Who is God asking you to inspire with courage to be who they are in Christ? Another thing that Barnabas shows us is that encouragers work for your wholeness. I'm using wholeness here as a catch-all for salvation and all that salvation brings. After the martyrdom of Stephen and the disciples scatter around the larger region, they go and they carry the gospel with them. And as a result, the gospel breaks out in great force in the city of Antioch. And as the churches in Antioch grew, the apostles in Jerusalem are a little concerned about the legitimacy of the church among the Gentiles. And so they send Barnabas as their representative to go down to Antioch and to examine their teaching and see if they're authentic followers. So Barnabas does that. And in chapter 11, we see that he rejoiced when he saw the grace of God at work in the church. And then also, as a teacher and a prophet, he's concerned about them deepening their relationship. So he knows that they need some teaching and support. And here, at this point, Barnabas sends off to Tarsus to find Saul. And he brings Saul back to Antioch. And the two of them together teach and preach for over a year, strengthening and supporting that church. Now, it may seem like a small detail that we leap over quickly when we read the account, but it was Barnabas Saul that it was vital for both Saul and the church to experience God's redemption and healing. One scholar notes that the church in Antioch was formed in part by those who were persecuted by Saul. And now Saul ends up ministering to them. Encouragers love it when others are blessed and they long for their wholeness and salvation. Whose success do you need to celebrate and encourage? Encouragers are also committed to developing others. They see potential, not problems. In chapter 13, Barnabas and Saul and a bunch of others are in a little gathering, and the Spirit speaks to them and says, "Set apart for me Saul and Barnabas to do the work that I called them to do." So Saul and Barnabas are set off on a missionary journey around the Mediterranean area, and they end up starting churches wherever they go. They return back to Antioch, and then after a while, they say, it would be good for us to revisit those churches to strengthen them and to see how they're doing. And before they leave, there's a conflict between Saul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take with them a fellow companion who was on the first trip by the name of John Mark. But somewhere during that first trip, John Mark decided he couldn't cut it anymore, so he was going to head home, and he left them. So on this second trip, when Barnabas wants to bring John Mark with him, Paul objects. He says, no, we should not bring him with us. And there's this huge dispute between Saul and Barnabas, and they part ways. Paul takes Silas and goes to Syria, and Barnabas takes John Mark, and they sail for Cyprus. Once again, we see Barnabas advocates on the behalf of another. When looking at John Mark, Barnabas didn't see a deserter and a quitter, but someone who needed a little bit more courage to step into the role that God had for him. He saw John Mark through the lens of his potential, not his mistakes. He discerned God's call in his life and was committed to helping him get there. Even in the face that John Mark might run away again. Encouragers are committed to bringing out the best in others, even if it's risky. You probably know John Mark, actually, as Mark, the writer of the first gospel. Is there someone in your life that you need to encourage to be defined not by their mistakes, but by their potential in Christ? See, there's a lot of ways we can encourage one another. Barnabas does it in the beginning in chapter 4 with his resource. He lays them down at the foot of the apostles. How encouraging it must have been to them to have a benefactor generously give for the welfare of others. We can encourage by our example, as we are encouraged by watching the example of Barnabas in the scriptures. We can encourage just by showing up and standing beside one another. But I want to pause for a moment and talk briefly about our words. It deserves a message all of its own, and perhaps I'll do that at some point in the future. There's a number of places in the scriptures that talk about our speech. Proverbs says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs doesn't see our speech or its language as something neutral, but as something that is powerful and transformative. Nothing can change the life like the power of an encouraging word spoken by someone who has listened to us long enough to speak into the needs of our soul at that moment. It might be a teacher who sees the glimmer of a talent in a student and calls it out and then opens up a career path for that student that changes his or her life. It might be a brother who sees you struggling. And he says to you, I know you and I know the steel in your kneecaps. You can do this thing. It might be a friend or a spouse who says, you're just selling yourself short. Knock it off. Our words have power to transform and give us life. I also have the power to crush and to kill our spirit. There's research done by a group, Heffley and Lasota, and they did a study on 60 leadership teams in business and measured the effectiveness of each of these teams by their financial performance, by customer satisfaction ratings, and by feedback from other team members. What they discovered was that the distinguishing factor that separated successful teams from weak teams was the average number that was the ratio of positive comments to negative comments that the team members gave to one another. The average ratio for highest performance teams was nearly six positive comments for every negative comments. To take off, another marriage counselor, John Gottman, says a similar thing, that if we want health in our relationships, we need 5 positive comments for every negative comment. You know that our souls, when it comes to criticism, are like Velcro. When it comes to encouragement, it's like Teflon. The good things seem to slide off while the negative things seem to stick. I suppose that's why we're instructed in Ephesians not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Who, or how are your words, rather, how are your words producing life in others? There is in Washington, D.C., a marvelous memorial to General Ulysses S. Grant. It's on the east end of the Reflection Pool, and it sits in the shadow of the Capitol building. As a visitor to the area, you can't miss its majesty and its description of the legendary general sitting on top of his war stallion. Grant is noted for his military leadership and his decisive Union victory in the Civil War. He's considered a symbol of the force of human will, and as an icon, a strong man who stands in the storm when others have shrunk back. 2 miles away or so, there's another statue of a lesser-known Civil War figure. His name is General John Rawlings. I had actually never heard of John Rawlings. Maybe you haven't either. But Rawlings was a lawyer in Illinois, lived near Grant, and became Grant's chief of staff. Rawlings knew of Grant's character, including all of his flaws. especially his fondness for alcohol. And at the beginning of the war, Rollins exacted a pledge from Grant to abstain from drunkenness. And at times when the general threatened to fall away from his promise, his friend Rollins would plead with him and support him until he could get back on track. In many ways, it was Rawlings who stood beside the seemingly solitary figure of Grant, the great general. Rawlings' memorial is modest compared to the glory afforded to Grant's monument. Yet without the love and support of Rawlings, Grant hardly would have ever been able to climb into the saddle. You know, most of us won't be great war generals, or great missionaries, or write gospel accounts. But all of us can be and should be encouragers. If we take the life of Barnabas seriously, we see that when God wants to change the world, he first sends an encourager. All of us have the ability to encourage and inspire those in our lives, our spouses, our children, our co-workers. All of us need to be encouraged at some point or another. May those in our community look up and see us coming and say, "Ah, here comes that son of encouragement." Let's pray. Holy Lord, we thank you that you have sacrificed yourself that we might step into a new world, that we might be people of change and hope and promise wherever we are. Lord, for those of us who are discouraged, we pray that you would send someone to represent the Spirit, to call us out to our better selves. And we pray, Lord, that this week you will bring into our path those who can benefit from a word of life. Amen. Another way to be encouraged or to encourage is to pray for one another. And our prayer ministers will be available if you would like to be encouraged in that way in the back corner. You may get up at any time between now and the end of the music.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.